Hey, hi, I'm Bonnie. Welcome to this podcast, Make Joy Normal, where we chat about homeschooling and family life. With my co-hosts, Elizabeth and Christina, we address your questions and topics in a way that can create more joy in our lives. Please submit any questions you have by email or voice message in the links in the show notes. If you found this episode valuable, please share it with a friend, like, or leave us a review. That's how we get the word out. Thanks for trying to make joy normal in your own life. Good afternoon, my dear listeners. I have with me again today Crystal Campbell, who I've interviewed a couple of times in the past about classical education. Welcome, Crystal. I'm so glad you're back with me.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here and to say hi again to all your listeners and really hoping that they're doing well on their journey and educating their children and really making sure that their homeschool is flourishing.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate so much. I know how much you added to their lives and my own. And I think that we had mentioned that you were hoping to start a podcast back when we did our interviews, and it would be really awesome for me to announce that you have actually started that podcast, and it's lovely. I think my listeners will really, really gain from it. So I'd like to sort of dive into why, sort of how you structure your podcast and sort of what your long-term plan is. I think that my listeners will really love this. And then we'll sort of maybe talk a little bit more about classical education. So just quickly, before we talk about your podcast, can you just define classical education for us, for if this is, if listeners didn't catch your previous episodes with me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, classical education is a way or a mode to impart education on the learners. And so classical education's goal is really the flourishing of the human person to be more in the image of Christ. Mm-hmm. And the how classical education does that is it recognizes the unification between the body and the soul of human beings. And they really honor that and really respect the nature of the human person, which I think sometimes in our scientific world, we forget that we're not just matter, that we are soul as well. And we really need to nurture and help to flourish the soul to be more in the image of Christ. And so that's it. That's a kind of an overarching description of what classical education does. And there's lots of opinions, I guess you could say, of what classical education looks like. Mm-hmm. But I think if we really go to the heart of it, the spirit of classical education is really to see the flourishing of the human person completely.
That's a beautiful definition. And after we talk about your podcast, I'd like to sort of spend some time talking about how you and I connected, you know, the project that we've worked on together, and maybe how our people might benefit from that. Because I think a lot of people would look at me and think not classical, because it's very sort of organic. You know what I mean? I don't see a difference between the two, but many people would. So let's talk about your podcast first, because I'm really excited for my people about it. So what is the name of your podcast?
Yes. So my podcast is called Classical Matters with Crystal nice. Joy Campbell. And okay. The intention of it is that we jump into, you know, go full head into what classical matters is. What are all the things to do with classical matters? So,
okay. Mm-hmm. From the episodes that I listened to, it was very instructional, right? Yeah. As opposed to conversational. And is that the format you're going to maintain, that this is a sort of an instructional thing? What is classical education? How do we make it happen in our lives?
Well, it's not going to be conversational because it is not an interview style. So I don't interview anyone right. per se. But what is unique about Classical Matters is that they are short episodes. They generally will be under
really
10
short.
Minutes, sometimes even under 5 minutes. And the reason for that is because I found, as a homeschool mom, as a person who was trying to pursue an understanding of what classical education was, with all of its deep theories and high philosophies, I found myself a lot of times swimming in a sea that I would be pulled under in the undercurrent. And I felt like I was drowning a lot of times. And so it would have been very helpful for me to just have short snippets of things that I can think about and think about throughout my day or throughout my week, and let those things seep in instead of getting, the Noah's Ark flood and kind of feeling overwhelmed.
Yeah.
So the purpose is to really just give some, still some deep thoughts and some intellectual ideas about what classical education is, but give them in a short enough and small enough bite that you can walk away and ask yourself the questions over and over again. How do I view the human person? What does it mean when we talk about grammar? How do I see grammar? What does it mean when I encounter musical education in the perspective of classical education? So the different topics that I cover really are meant to be kind of contemplation considerations for the homeschool mom, the teacher, the tutor, the administrator, the parent who is trying to give their student, their child, a classical education. So yeah, but there is room, don't get me wrong, I know there is room for lots of conversation about classical education, and hopefully something will come out of that for us that we can grow into conversation.
Yeah, I think this format is great, actually. You're instructing, you're sharing, you're presenting this idea, but the little sound bites I thought was perfect, because what busy mom, you know, is you know, can listen to an hour and absorb an hour on classical education, right? And so, no, I think it's a great format. I think you've chosen really well there. How do you start off? What are the topics that you sort of initially cover, just so people kind of know what they're diving into?
Yeah, so one of the things that I really wanted to set the tone was to help my listeners understand who I am. I am just a homeschool mom that stumbled upon classical education and found truth and found a way that really helped my students and myself to flourish. So it kind of starts out with who I am and why I feel really cultivating the educator. So the homeschool mom, the teacher, the tutor, why that is so important. And then I go on to talk just, and sometimes it's because we're at the beginning of the school year in September. I touched upon, you are the curriculum. What does it mean that we are the curriculum? Our students need to have something very worthy to imitate. And so how are we worthy of being imitated? And then I talked about the pressures that happen when we approach the actual teaching, and how we sometimes switch out of an educator's heart into a more, I guess you could say, more of a mindset of let's get this done. And that was a flip of the switch. Instead of really keeping our hearts focused on, I need to journey with the learner. I really need to walk with the learner. And then I went a little bit more into kind of the pedagogy or the roadmap of classical education. And this is where people stumble, honestly, because it is quite large. And it with that episode was quite overwhelming. Yeah. And I did get some responses from people that this was way too intellectual, way too much information. And I agree. And so now what, and the plan was to go back and to really go a little bit deeper into each of these different parts of this roadmap of classical education and how to see it practically in our homeschool and in our lives, in our educational situation. And then go more into the theory part of it as well, the philosophical, and to really help form our hearts and our minds towards living a life steeped in classical education. So yeah, we're just going to break apart what we can. And if I have suggestions about what people want to hear about or have questions about, I'll go that route too.
Okay, that's awesome. Can people submit questions to you? Can they, how is it set up so that they can interact with you if they have queries or questions?
Right. Yeah. So what you can do is you can follow me on Facebook at Cultivating Classical Educators and or on my webpage, which is crystaljoycampbell.com. Okay. And you can submit a question through there or on the Facebook, either through the chat on Facebook Messenger or as a comment.
Okay. That's great. I would encourage people to, unless something is, you know, personal, to actually ask it as a comment, because if you have a question, it's almost a guarantee that other mothers have that question, other home educators have that question. So, you know, it's just something that we, don't, I think we as parents need to kind of move away from the idea that our question is, you know, unimportant or insignificant or ridiculous or whatever, because it's a guarantee that other people will have the same question. And maybe we're also feeling trepidation at asking it. You know, sometimes the most simple questions, right? And I think that that's really important for us to be able to kind of open up our, you know, fears and concerns and be able to put them in to a question format so that other people can see, oh, yeah, I wondered that too, right?
Mm-hmm. And it can be a simple question. Like I had a simple question from a mom and she said, well, what books are classical? Like, what do I have in my home library? And, right. You know, she has kids, you know, from zero, like just infant in arms up to, you know, grade six, grade seven. And she said, I don't know what to put in my library. And so that was a great question to mm-hmm. be able to explore with her. And if we get them on a platform like Facebook, as a comment, then we can actually open up those discussions mm-hmm. and people can join in as well, because I don't have all the answers. I am on this journey too with you. I may not even be ahead of you in many ways. I'm just pursuing truth just like you are. And so
yeah.
journey. I look forward to journeying
and
with
sharing
people,
your journey.
Right? Like
it's mm-hmm, a beautiful mm-hmm. thing. Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. So a couple of questions I have, is first of all, is it weekly?
It is. So it comes out every Monday, okay. 4 a.m.
Okay.
If you wanted that early, it's kind of trying to hit the people on the Eastern Seaboard a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
But it comes out every Monday. Now, when I first had the inspiration for this format of a podcast, which was short snippets, the idea would be mm-hmm. that we have one every day. Just to kind of start our day, something that can launch us
right.
or springboard us into the day to remind us to keep our feet firmly grounded in classical education. Now, is that going to go that route? I don't know. You know, God willing, it's his plan. But for right now,
yeah,
it
exactly.
is once a week. And one of the things about okay. a short episode is you can keep coming back to it. And throughout the week, mm-hmm. it's like 10 minutes while you're washing the dishes or... you know, 5 minutes while you're changing the baby's bum or, you know, that kind of
yeah.
thing.
Yeah, you know, and helping you cement those ideas mm-hmm. in your brain, mm-hmm. right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
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 Do you sort of have show notes where you provide, you know, links to things you're mentioning or...
Yeah, if I give a specific reference to something, like I did reference an article that I absolutely adore and read quite often, which is what is classical Catholic education by Jonathan Beeson.
Right.
I would reference that, but generally,
okay.
if I referenced a book, I would put that in the show notes, but I don't have any sort
okay, great,
of
yeah.
Transcript or anything like that.
Okay. That's great. Yeah. I think just being able to click on the things that we talk about, you know, it took me a while into my podcast to sort of get going on that like, mm-hmm. oh, okay, this would be helpful for people if they could just click on it.
mm-hmm. And hopefully all the show notes will contain, you know, the link to the Facebook page and the link
right.
to the website so that you don't have to keep, you know, jotting it down or trying to find it, that you just have to go to the show notes of an episode and they should be in there.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. So just referring back to something you just mentioned, you know, this movement that happens, you know, parents want to impart education to their children and then suddenly there's this sort of getting it done. I just need to get it done. We just need to get done. Mm-hmm. Right. And the thing is, I've never met a soul in my life that goes into homeschooling with the ideas that, well, I want to homeschool and I just want to get it done. I just want to, you know, tick the boxes. Nobody does that. And so we all, in a sense, I think, are sort of classical educators at heart. We want to guide the child. We want to form the child. That's what our ideal is. And that's what a beautiful thing is. And we recognize that, but we get weighed down. What do you think it is that weighs parents down? How do we get to that place?
That's a great question. I don't have all the answers, but I mm-hmm. do have the experience of my own journey. Mm-hmm. And I found what weighed me down was putting into practices that I didn't understand why I was doing them.
Right.
So okay. whether it be teaching my child Latin or, you know, really fully understanding what, why am I doing history? Why am I doing this history? And mm-hmm. why am I doing it this way? Right?
Right.
And so it's really, I said in one of my podcasts, we really have to try and understand the belief behind the action so that our actions mm-hmm. have more integrity. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of where I fell apart, because I was doing all of these actions. I was doing all of these doing, checking the boxes, mm-hmm. making sure I was doing the proper curriculum. And it just didn't produce, we just didn't have a flourishing life. My children were not flourishing as human beings. I had no joy, and it was quite miserable. And so I had to ask myself, why? And if we can remember that it's for the transformation of souls.
Yeah.
Right.
And we have to think about that every day.
We do.
Yeah.
And then we have to go deeper, right? And this is one of the beautiful things about classical education, is it calls us to go to pursue more and more and more truth. So we can start somewhere. We can pick anywhere to start. We can start with grammar and just say, okay, well, what do I know about grammar? Well, I know it's parts of speech, and I know it's this, I know it's this. Mm-hmm. And then we can keep pursuing it and saying, well, there's got to be more to it. There's more, mm-hmm. there's more. And it's true. Like, I'm taking a seminar right now on a book that deals with the trivium, and I'm blown away at the depth of thought and understanding that has already been done in regards to how best to educate the human being mm-hmm. and through classical education. And mm-hmm. I don't know it all, but I love this journey, because we really are flourishing. We've really seen a transformation of souls in our family.
That's beautiful. So I want to just talk about the little course that we did together. I've actually had several people contact me and say, would you be redoing that? And I think that way we should look to that in the new year, sort of redoing that three-part course?
It was three-part, yeah.
Yeah. Because it was a small group. We were, I can't remember, 12 people or something like that on classical education, and sort of from your perspective, the why, and from my perspective, the how, but of course there was overlap in our roles, but for my part, it was sort of how has this played out in our family life over these, you know, 30 something years of homeschooling? And I think that what made that really work, that little series we did, was the fact that people could see sort of the practical application of it, which is not what you really expect. I think we think classical education, we think heavy, academically oriented. And I've always, my line has always been, academics grows from love. That's, you know, the desire to learn, the desire to know grows from love. And you can't flip that around, right? It has to be love first. And if you try to flip it around, academia becomes too top heavy. It's like it's false in a sense, right? Because knowing has to come from love. And so, do you want to just sort of go over that course in the event that, I don't know if you have interest in doing it, but I know our listeners do.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You know, and the template's already there, so it would be kind of easy to begin that. But talk about the course a little bit, just briefly, about what we covered, so that people get a sense of it. If there's interest, people can email me and we can sort of set something up for the new year or something like that.
Perfect. Yeah. So basically what we were doing is we were taking one aspect of the roadmap of classical education, which is called the trivium. And the trivium is made up of grammar, logic, and rhetoric. And so what we did is we did a deep dive in each session into one of these parts of the trivium. So the first one was on grammar. And what we did is we looked more into the history of grammar. How does it play out in our human history, in Revelation history, and how does it, and how do we actually live grammar, not just do grammar as in this is an article, this is, you know, analysis.
The subject,
and
grammar,
really
the lifestyle.
Exactly. And so we kind of tagged it as naming and knowing, that grammar is really about naming and knowing. And then the next session was on logic. And that was in, we talked a lot about truth. And how do we know truth, and how do we experience truth, and how do we encourage our children to to experience reality with truth. Hmm. And that was kind of what logic was. And then how do we do that? How, like, what are some practical ways that we can incorporate into our homeschool or education plan, whatever it is, to continue to encourage this movement of logic in the lives mm-hmm. of our children? And then the last one was rhetoric. And we really brought that into a more full vision of what we call the divine community. So the community of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. and how rhetoric really flows out of that. And we are invited into this divine conversation through rhetoric, and mm-hmm. Not just between Sam, Bonnie, and myself, right? When we talk and we exchange and we have rhetoric going on, right? But how is that a reflection of the divine community? And how yes. do we want that between ourselves and our children, and to imitate it so our children can learn it? And then we give some practical things like the progymnasmata and the mm-hmm. different canons of rhetoric that oftentimes we feel are out of our reach because they are quite intellectual and heady. Mm-hmm. But we simplified it. And I thought it was really good. Yeah.
I thought so too. Yeah. So that would be, so please email me or Crystal if you're interested in that course, because we could run that again. It was really enjoyable. It was a lovely group of moms and I think we all benefited. And it was interesting to sort of reflect back on how, in a sense, where people wouldn't put me in the classical camp, how very classical our education really was.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think what a lot of times we like to really formalize our definitions, right? Mm-hmm. So we would say, well, this person is not doing a classical education, or this curriculum is not classical. And sometimes we can do that because it is very anti-classical. But most of the time, if we go more to the understanding behind what classical education is, the most curriculum can be very classical
mm-hmm.
in a lot of ways.
It depends on your attitude towards it, really, and the way
and
that
how
we approach
we teach.
It. Yeah,
yeah mm-hmm. and how we teach and how we educate. So,
yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
Just on your comment on rhetoric and the sort of coming into this divine conversation, Bishop Barron uses this term. I don't know if you are a Bishop Barron fan, but he uses these terms, the ego drama, and the theodrama. And I think it sort of plays into this idea of the divine conversation, that the ego drama, you know, is what is going on in our lives as it pertains to the world and as it pertains to our struggles and various other things. But there's also at the same time, concurrently, there's always the theodrama, which is going on in our lives and in the lives of every person. So every person's experiencing this ego drama and also the theodrama, kind of the acting of God in our lives, and the sort of eternal nature of the omniscient nature of our life experience, right? And it's just those terms really, I find really helpful, because whenever I'm kind of wallowing in my own little, you know, whatever it is I'm dealing with, and if I can name that, like, okay, this is my ego drama, right? And there is a theodrama going on within this and outside of this and alongside of this, and I'm experiencing this thing, but it's singular to me, and there is something much larger going on here, right? Mm-hmm. And so our awareness of sort of that, you know, what you're calling a divine conversation is a great term, that, you know, what is this life all about, really, right? And we can help, you know, so that's that, though, like those hooks, ego drama and theodrama, are really helpful for me mm-hmm. to remember what my daily life is all about.
Yeah. And, you know, that's so fascinating, because as, you know, as human beings, as, you know, the human species, we have this very unique nature where we stand in these two worlds, right? Mm-hmm. And we stand in this world of matter and of actual, you know, physical things. And yet we also stand in this world of God.
Oh, right? It sends chills down my spine.
And it's so fascinating, because it's when we actually, you know, believe what we profess, that we are a unified being, mm-hmm. and our actions follow that, through the way that we teach, through the way the curriculum that we use and how we use it, how we, you know, talk about the unification of all things. Mm-hmm. And all of this stuff really helps us to be more fully human. Mm-hmm. And that's what's so beautiful about classical education, is that it really allows us to continue to go deeper and deeper and deeper and further and further and further. Where I think progressive education, you get to grade 12 or you're done your university and you're done. You're adulting now and you're just doing this thing, adulting, right? And you're not really flourishing anymore as a human being. You're just existing in this matter world, you know? And so I'm very hopeful in classical education. I know it's transformed my life, and I can see it happening in my kids. You know?
It's such a beautiful gift you're giving them. I always think too, like we have to have our, in living in the two worlds, in a sense, the world of the, you know, our earthly reality and the world of heaven and our ultimate path there, you know, feet on the ground, eyes on heaven. And it's so hard to do that. It's so hard to do that, to think, okay, I'm grounded in this world. But it really, if we think that way, feet on the ground, eyes on heaven, ego drama, theo drama, divine conversation, if we think that way, it helps us, I think, to grow as Christians in our parenting and our interactions with our children. It's very easy to think, this child is just bugging me and I'm just going to yell at them, or I'm going to send them to the room or whatever. In our interactions with other human beings, if we recognize that there is, life is unfolding both the spirit in the spiritual sense and in the physical temporal sense, life is unfolding and I'm just part of it, right? Both those things, that I think it helps us to be the parents that we really want to be, because that's our big struggle in life, right? Mm-hmm. Well, how do I be the parent that I want to be? Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. And how do I be the Bonnie I want to be? How do I be the Crystal that I was created to be? Right? Because I'm not just a parent. I will always be a parent, but that role really changes as they mature, as the kids mature. And you've experienced that, Bonnie, with having adult children, and what changes in that relationship. And if we're, as you know, Bonnie as a person or Crystal as a person, because I have one who's just about 18 graduating, and if I don't change with that child who's, you know, who's an emerging adult, then the relationship won't change, right?
Absolutely.
And then I've lost my child. I've lost that relationship.
Right? Exactly. The relationship has to trump everything else, right? As our relationship with God does, as we walk through this world, you know, there are things we want or things we desire or things we hate about our life or whatever. But ultimately, we have to keep our eyes on that relationship as well. Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting because my husband just retired. He sold his business and retired a few months ago. And that is another change. Like, I have to adapt the kind of person that I want to be, and what does holiness look like? I'm almost an empty nester. You know, what does holiness look like? What is God's role? In a sense, you kind of come back to the very beginnings of your vocation as husband and wife. Okay, what, before you had children or whatever, what does God want of us as a couple? You know, we, in the last 30 years, we've been raising kids. That's what God wants of us. But our role is changing now and has been changing for a few years now. And so it's really interesting to sort of now look at that and think, okay, what is it you want of me now? I'm still a mom. I still need to, you know, be a supporting role in the lives of my adult children and all of that. But it is different, right? It is different. We come together again as a couple like we did before children, right? So yeah, it's a beautiful thing that life is always, it's always in a state of flux, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I've often heard, you know, the only thing constant is change, right? You know, the only thing constant in the world is change. And I truly believe that. But you know, Bonnie, like I really love to swim in contemplation and swim in the heady and try and, you know, sort things through and go deeper and deeper. But I also am a very active person and a very practical person. And I like to really live in the world of matter. And so to be able to find those bridges of where the heady can meet the matter and the matter can meet the heady. And what are those things? What are those things? And how do they look, right?
Yeah.
And I was even having a conversation with a friend of mine last night, and she was lamenting to me about how she, so in Alberta, in homeschooling, we have facilitators that kind of help us to assess where our children are at, so the government knows and da 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 da. Right. And she said, so you know, pointedly, she said, you know, she was there to not assess me. It was to accompany me in assessing where my child was. But I don't know why, but I was feeling like I was being assessed. Like it was always about, you know, and that's a real thing, is that, mm-hmm. you know, we as home educators, as educators, have a huge responsibility and carry a big burden. Mm-hmm. And so we do really get stuck in making sure that we are doing our job well and making sure it's measurable mm-hmm. about how we're doing our job well.
Right.
And there's ways that we can do that. There are practical ways, but there's has to be that meeting of the heady and the matter, the practical, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Within that assessment and to really make sure that our assessments as well, whether we're assessing our children or assessing ourselves as educators, have that balance as well. Mm-hmm. I don't even want to say balance. I hate that. Like, because we're talking always now, oh, balance and partnership and da da da. It's not even that. They converge. They live together, mm-hmm. right? These two things, they live together. They're a unified thing. And we can't ignore one for the mm-hmm. other. But how mm-hmm. do we, yeah. So just to, you know, encourage people that, you know, Bonnie and I, we do talk a lot of heady things and a lot of contemplative ideas, but we're both very active and practical people.
It's true, right? And mm-hmm. I do wonder sometimes if that actually helps, because we're both practical by nature, if that actually helps to make manifest the heady things in reality, right? That seems more, you know, because I'm a very hands-on person, as you are, that okay, well, how do I put this into action, right? For me, it's mm-hmm. How do I put this into action? That's a really basic mm-hmm. question. Yeah. You know, I talk about I use the word pondering a lot because I think it's so important yeah. to ponder. And for me, like not only in my children and in my homeschooling and all of that, but even just in the smoothness of how my life is running, you know, or the next phase of my life. Like right now, I'm in a state of pondering what is this going to look like? And I think it's good for us to ponder and spend time pondering, you know, what is being asked of me at this point in my life. But even things like, how do you make the kitchen run more smoothly? How do I make my homeschool day run more smoothly? If we, from a practical perspective, we look like sort of top down, okay, we need to make this happen, we need to do this, we need to change this, but we usually need to step back and ponder it, you know, how do I make this a reality, right? And it's there where we can actually make practical and efficient and efficacious changes in our life so that things run more smoothly, right?
And just changes, yeah. right? Changes that are appropriate for what we're trying to do. Because mm-hmm. oftentimes we, you know, we scroll through Facebook or find the latest thing on Instagram and they're like, woo, we're going to run with this. This is going to work. And it very well may. Like, we need information and we need mm-hmm. help. Like, I don't deny that. But, and we can run with it quicker if we have pondered. Mm-hmm. We're able to discern faster if it's yeah. actually going to work if we pondered. And Mary is a beautiful example of pondering. What she does is pondering, right? And not just Mary the mother of Jesus, but also Mary at the feet of Jesus, mm-hmm. right? That's what she was doing. And that's a, you know, truly a lovely thing. And I'm going to give you an example of this heady to practical, because I yeah. just really noticed a shift. So I was researching about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, who is an educator? Like, what is an educator? And what do the greats say about education, like who the educator is? Mm-hmm. And I kind of came to this conclusion in a snippet that, well, I'm a midwife. I'm bringing forth the learning, right? Like I'm not doing the laboring, but I'm just setting the environment and the mm-hmm. atmosphere. Like, I thought mm-hmm. of a midwife. What are they doing? They're just making sure that the atmosphere and the environment is conducive to bring forth that baby.
Exactly, right? Yeah.
And supporting the mom in the laboring. And then I went on and thought, well, if I'm the midwife, then the student is the mom bringing forth the laboring, right? They're the one doing the work, right? And so that really was a shift in the way I viewed my role and the role of my children. And then my language started to change in my home school, because I had to keep coming back to that, because I love to like grab outside my lane and say, this is my responsibility. I'm going to take control of this.
Right.
When it's really the student's responsibility. Right. And so even now, like even last week, as we're getting more into homeschooling, my one daughter was pushing back. I'm not doing math. No way. Like we've had a break since we've moved. And so it's hard getting back into things. And yes, I've moved again. And and so she was pushing back. And I looked at her, I sat down with her and I said, well, I'm ready. The environment's ready. Like your books are here. We got a quiet environment, but I can't do anything unless you're ready. So you go get your heart ready to learn. You go try and figure out why you're all prickly and pushing back against wanting to learn some math, because we know we both love math. So you go figure that out, right? And so she went away, and then she came back and she's like, okay, I'm ready, right? And what I've noticed is like the time is getting shorter and shorter. When it first started happening, I might not be able to get back to math that day. And I had to let that go. I had to be like, okay, I can't force this. I can't be the tyrant. I can't be the school marm with the stick, right? Beating it over my child's head. But the time is getting shorter and shorter because her muscle of being able to be ready, right? Getting her heart ready has strengthened. Her muscle to do that has strengthened. So she's doing it faster, right? And so she's getting stronger as a learner. And that's a win. That is a tangible, that is a manage, we're able to actually measure that. Like I can see that happening. That's measurable. And so that's something very practical, that from super going practical. From the heady into the very practical, that is measurable for us.
And teaches them to sort of assess why they're being the way they're being, right? You know, why am I like this right now? And, you know, that's good. Maybe they come to you and say, you know, I was feeling really annoyed about something that's going on this morning. And so that's why I didn't want to do anything, you know, just good opportunity for self-reflections. They may not do that, but it at least gives the, opens the door that they can explore why they're feeling the way they're feeling at this moment.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing that just fascinates me is that I took something very heady, right? And and made something very practical of it. And I'm seeing the fruits now because she is willing to do much more independent learning now because she understands what the right heart is, right?
Right.
She knows that. She's experienced it. It's not something that's reliant upon mom, right? Or the teacher.
Forcing you to do something.
Or making it exciting. Making it like all cutesy and fun. Like, no, like this is her work.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. One of the things, I can't remember something you said just a couple of minutes ago made me think about this statement, but in terms of choosing, you know, choosing our activities or choosing what we're curriculum or choosing what we're going to do in our homeschool. But the question I often ask myself was, will this thing that's put in front of me, the curriculum or the whatever, add to or detract from my family life? You know, and that was such a great sorting exercise for me to do at everything I was presented with, whether it was an activity, a field trip, a curriculum, a new program, a new subject area to explore. That was the question I first asked myself. And so that's very handy when you're at a conference or something where everything looks shiny and sparkly and you want it all. And you feel like you're doing your kid a disservice because you're not, you know, doing the whatevers, that ask yourself that question, will this add to our life or will it detract from our life? Because right now it might detract from your life. A year from now, that might be different. But, you know, just because it's on sale 10% off doesn't mean you need it now. Right? And so you have to take some discernment about what you're going to do, what you're going to present to your children and all of that, right? And what activities you're going to pursue.
I was always a conference junkie, you know, and I loved going to conferences, and I always walked away with way too much stuff. I'm like, you know, I'm like a raven. Anything shiny and bright, I'm there, right? I'll take it home with me and put it in my nest, you know. But what I realized was that and don't take this wrong, curriculum is important, right? The method of how we lay out the what we want to teach the children mm-hmm. is important, but it's not more important than the educator, mm-hmm. right? It's not more important than what I'm doing and how I'm approaching the teaching. It's, and oftentimes that is what is at the heart of the problem of any of our curriculum problems mm-hmm. is how am I approaching it? And I'm not saying that we are the problem. It's just, it's probably time for some pruning and growth, mm-hmm. fertilizing, right? Mm-hmm. And that does, and a new shiny bright curriculum is not going to be the answer.
Right? Exactly. It rarely is. Mm-hmm. You know,
sometimes there will need a shift, but mm-hmm. but most of the time we can know when that happens because it's much more practical. Like as a mom, it's like in our hearts we know, like more practical. It's like, mm-hmm. oh, this knife is not doing the right cutting. I need that knife. It's much more practical, right? Like we feel it more practically. Mm-hmm. Where if we're buying things because we need something fixed in our heart or we need something pruned in our heart, mm-hmm. that's a good indication for us to say, whoa, let's hold the reins here and let's reassess that.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. Yeah, I love it. Great comment. I wanted to end off with your thoughts on something, going back to the very beginning of what classical education is, and, you know, the flourishing of souls. It's such a beautiful phrase to keep in our mind. It's something, honestly, mm-hmm. we should say to ourselves every day. What am I doing? I'm helping souls to flourish. That's what I'm doing, right? Even if you don't think of yourself as a classical educator, that is what you're doing as a parent. Mm-hmm. And I think just having that phrase in our brains is just really powerful. Mm-hmm. What would you say is your sort of best piece of advice you would give to parents on how you can help flourish those souls, how you can mm-hmm. implement that idea at some very basic level, something you do during your day or something, mm-hmm. a way that you think, what would be your number one piece of advice?
Well, I'm going to go heady and then I'm going to bring it to practical. I'm going to go a bit intellectual and then bring it down to the ground. So what I would say is, if what we're trying to do in any form of education is to flourish the human person, we need to know what the human person is, who the human mm-hmm. person is. And how is the best way to do that? Now, we're not going to be able to do that in 5 minutes. It's not even going to be done in a lifetime. But what we can do is we can not reinvent the wheel. So the beautiful thing about classical education is they have this tried, tested, and true wheel that we can jump on mm-hmm. at almost any place. One of the best places to jump on is what what is coined as musical education. And so an education mm-hmm. by the muses. And what that does is it very gently teaches us or reveals to us the human person and reality. So the muses are, they're in Greek myth, but they presided over arts. So they presided over poetry and song and dance and that are really interesting. They presided over astronomy, right? So stargazing. And so what's so great about that are these are things that we don't have to do. We just have to be in. So if we mm-hmm. want to flourish our children, flourish mm-hmm. the human person, we need to be able to wonder. And so crack open a poetry book, sing a song, put on a song that you can mm-hmm. jive to and dance around to. Do something beautiful with your movement. Go out stargazing. That is one of the mm-hmm. best places to start because what happens is we have a shift in our heart towards wonder. And even though the muses won't ever say, a human being mm-hmm. is XYZ, you know, a human being does this, this, this. They won't ever do that. Mm-hmm. They don't preach. They don't teach. What they do is they reveal, right? And then what happens is our hearts move, our children's hearts move, mm-hmm. and we become more human. And the best way for us to understand, the first step, I guess, to understanding what a human being is to be more human. Don't stress, mamas, like really, like crack open those poetry books. Don't ask questions about the poetry. Don't say, well, what do you think this means? Just say, mm-hmm. I wonder. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Beautiful. Oh, that's lovely, Crystal. Thank you. This is fantastic. Thank you again. I'm very excited. I'm going to remind my listeners again to go have a listen to your podcast. I think it's just really, really well done. And I think that they will really gain from it as well. So thank you so much for joining me and sharing that with us and getting the podcast off the ground. That's a big deal, right?
It really is for me. It's hard to get these things going when we're moving all the time, but you know,
I know.
God willing and the movement of the spirit.
But you did it. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So please join me every Monday at Classical Matters with Crystal Joy Campbell. And you can find it on any of the popular podcast hosts or you can pop onto my website and find me there.
Fantastic. They can link you there. They can link to your podcast from the website. Okay, fantastic. We'll put that all on the show notes. Thank you, my dear. God bless. Have a wonderful evening.
Thank you very much.